You are listening to the Real Faith Stories Podcast, interviews with people who chose to boldly follow their faith. I'm your host, Brian Robinson. Now, let's meet our guest and hear their story. Beth William, welcome to Real Faith Stories. It is great to have you on the show today.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much. I'm honored and privileged to be on your show today.
I have a quote I'm going to just start off with that you gave me, and we'll dig into this a little bit later, but here it is. Jesus didn't just come for salvation. He came for us to walk in freedom and to destroy the works of the devil. The kingdom of God is within us, and we bring heaven to earth. We have a kingdom purpose and a call, and we have to walk in power and authority to reach God's destiny for us. Wow. So good. Now, Beth, you came to that conclusion after a significant series of events that God led you through in your life that I would love for you to share. But first, give us a little bit of your backstory. Where'd you grow up? How you came to faith? And then there was a major shift that happened a little bit later in life.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. And I just feel so honored and blessed to share what God has done for me. And, you know, he tells us to share our testimonies, and that it brings faith, it brings salvation, it brings freedom and breakthrough. So that's my hope and prayer for this call today. But yeah, so I really gave my heart to Jesus back when I was in middle school at a Young Life thing we had at our school. And I really had no idea what being a Christian was like. It was like I knew there was a God and I knew that I was supposed to give my life to him, but I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't grow up in a church. My mom was Assembly of God and my dad was Church of Christ, complete opposite.
No kidding.
Denominations. Yeah. So needless to say, you know, they neither one felt accepted in their churches. And so we grew up really not in church at all. My parents spoke of God. I knew he was real. My mom would quote scripture, but I didn't really know what it was like until I really was in my 20s. I decided to be baptized October 7th, 2001. And I feel like that was the first step of just completely saying, okay, I'm yours, Lord. I want to be cleansed. I want to be whole, pure. I want to do all the right things. And so that's really kind of where my journey started. And then I started learning the fullness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I didn't really know a lot about Holy Spirit, but the more I started to learn, the more I was just enamored. I'm like, what? This is incredible. Tell me more. Like, Lord, you know, show me Holy Spirit. And I started learning about the same time I started learning about Holy Spirit, I was learning that we could hear the voice of God and that he could speak to us. That drove me into like this hunt of the prophetic and what does it mean to hear the voice of God. And I started learning about deliverance ministry and that Christians could be set free and that we had strongholds, and just getting baptized wasn't enough. Like there was more.
What were the circumstances that led you in after being baptized into discovering these things about the Holy Spirit?
I would listen to messages. I was reading books, like, I mean, one after another. I got my hands on a Derek Prince book that talked about deliverance and freedom. And the more I read about this, the more I was like, wow, God, I don't want anything keeping me back from you. I don't want to be in bondage in any way. You know, I had led a life of sin prior to being saved, and I wanted to be cleansed from all of that. I wanted all that God had for me. And so that's really what happened. As I was reading about freedom ministry, I found a lady that actually did deliverance ministry, and I started researching it and went through the process of freedom ministry. And I actually didn't go into freedom ministry thinking I was going to be healed. Like I really had no idea, but I was. God completely healed me. I had thyroid issues. I had a pituitary issue. I mean, they thought I had a tumor. I was doing MRIs regularly. I had knee pain. I had depression. I was on so many different prescription drugs for all of these things. And from the time that I got set free, I was immediately healed from all of that.
Wow. Let's back up and let's get a little more detail on the backstory about all these maladies in your body. How long had that been going on? How old were you when this started and then when it ended?
Probably college, I would say. In my early adult years, I started having issues with my hormones and my thyroid, and I was having these irregular prolactin levels. I mean, just crazy stuff. The knee pain, you know, I just assumed, well, it's because I was a runner. I played sports. I worked out a lot. So I'm just thinking this is just part of life. You know, this is just what happens to people. I didn't know that I could get healed and get freedom. I had no idea.
So what led to this physical change in your body?
Well, the spirit of infirmity, spirits that were on my bloodline, you know, generational things that were in my bloodline for these conditions. And, you know, we're born into things. Sometimes it's not that we've sinned and we've opened all these doors ourselves, but we can actually be born with strongholds. We can be born with those things that we have the power and authority to break and remove out of our lives. And a lot of people don't realize that.
So you came to this conclusion by interfacing with a woman who does deliverance ministry.
Yes.
So tell us about that experience when she prayed for you. Was it a one-time thing or what did that look like?
Well, in my case, it was several hours. She works through inner healing and deliverance, but it's more of the SOZO version. It's a shorter version of deliverance. So it's a one-day type thing, but you fast. You know, because the Bible says that there's only some spirits that will come out by fasting and prayer. So I had fasted, you know, I was living a clean life. I was ready to be free. I was all in. So she spent a day with me and we went through a process of forgiving myself, forgiving those who I had unforgiveness toward, getting rid of bitter roots, renouncing things that I had spoken over myself. I mean, people don't realize how powerful our words are. You know, The Bible says that the power of life and death are in our tongue, and it's literally that. I mean, we speak life or we speak death, and people curse themselves and they don't even know it. They really think it's innocent. And so you have to go back and renounce these things that you've agreed with. You know, the enemy works by partnering. He wants your agreement and he wants you to speak and give him permission. So he has to have legal right to operate in our lives. And when we agree with him or we speak and give him permission, then he has the legal right. You know, I've spoken things over myself that I had to go back and renounce those things and give them to the Lord. And so it's this whole process of forgiving self, forgiving others, renouncing things that you've spoken over yourself, breaking agreement with illnesses and things that we've said, you know, we own this, I have this. So you go through that process, and then once the strongholds no longer have a hold on you, then they can be cast out. And so that's what she did. She casted them out. They left my body. I physically felt them leave me. It was the most incredible thing. I felt so light. I felt like, I mean, I just felt like 1,000 pounds were taken off of my shoulders. I remember walking outside and everything was bright. I was like, what? Have I missed these colors? I know that sounds crazy, but it was like my seer eyes were opened and everything was vivid and bright. And it was incredible. And I'll tell you what, I was like, Lord, I don't want to lose this. I do not want to lose this freedom. I never want to lose this feeling. And that's really how I started the next journey, which was, how do I keep my freedom? What do I do? And I went on this journey and this search and hunt on, God, how do I keep this? And she had told me, you know, it's important that you keep yourself clean, you keep your house clean. And so that's kind of where my book came about. The Lord walked me through so many tools and strategies of staying free. And I was like, man, people have to know this. And he really put such an urgency. Like when he told me to write this book, it was like, I had to do it so fast. I literally wrote this, I think in like almost 6 months. I mean, it was crazy. And it was just the Lord just downloading, saying, get this out, get this out. And I know it's because we're in the battle of our lives right now. We really are.
What's the name of your book?
The book is called Kingdom Authority.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So someone listening to this might be thinking, Beth, you're a Christian and all this stuff needed to be cast out of you? All this stuff to be removed from you? And that flies in the face of a lot of standard Christian teaching Did you have anything you had to overcome in order to embrace that concept?
Well, two things. One thing is my personality, you know, I'm like, I want freedom. I don't want bondage. I don't want strongholds. I want everything the Lord has for me. If you tell me that there's more, I'm going to say, I want the more, you know, because I'm hungry and I'm like, I want the freedom. I want the more. And then the second thing is, if you read the New Testament, a third of the New Testament of Jesus is casting out demons. A third of his ministry. He talks about it all through scripture. So I was a believer right off the bat. No one had to sell me on it. And then to experience it myself, you can say all that you want about anything, but when you experience it, it's like, okay, you can't convince me anything different now.
Yeah. One of my favorite statements to that point, Beth, is a person with experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument.
That's so true. That's so true.
So as you experience this freedom physically, spiritually, emotionally, you saw things differently when you walked out of there. What was it that God pressed into you about next steps? What happened?
I started to kind of put many things in my life together. It was like, you know, revelation. I mean, God comes by Holy Spirit to give us revelation. And I started getting revelation because my mind was clear. My spirit was so alive with the Holy Spirit, and I started hearing him. I started hearing his voice. I started having dreams. I started really just understanding what I needed to do as a believer. I knew of the full armor of God. I knew that was in the scripture, but I didn't realize, okay, you can physically put that on every day. Like, it is a prophetic act to declare and decree that over yourself. I started learning about the power of scripture, that when we're declaring the word of God, it's as though God is speaking it because it's breathed by him. And so I started learning the power of that, the power of decrees, the power of worship, the anointing. You know, I started learning how to take authority. God gave us dominion. He gave us dominion over all things. It says all things. And I started learning about cleansing my home, cleansing my land, how to pray over my children. I mean, it just went from one simple act of freedom to so much revelation from Holy Spirit on how to stay free. And that's really what drove the book, was it's like, okay, I didn't know this. I know there's other people that don't know this, that need this revelation also.
Now, as you interface with other people through the book and through other ministry means, what have you found thus far to be the first and most important step when someone's moving into this space?
Of walking in freedom?
Yeah.
Well, I highly recommend Healing and Deliverance. And I recommend that anybody who is seeking that to find a really solid church that does it, that does not charge. There should be no fee for freedom. Really do your homework and really make sure it is a process where you can be discipled afterwards, because you have to stay free, right?
Mm.
Then I would say, take authority over your dominion and your territory. You know, God has given all of us such greatness within us. Every born-again believer has a power and authority to walk over serpents, scorpions. I mean, the scripture tells us that, like, we have that authority. So what we have to do is we have to use it. The enemy, his goal is to make us worn out, tired, weary, so that we don't battle him. You know, the Bible says we have to resist him. You resist the devil and he will flee. But if you can't resist him, he's there. If you're agreeing with him, he's there. If you're giving him legal right, he's there. So we have to take authority. And that means start in your home. I'm a mom. I have a family. And so I'm taking over my home. But you can be single and live in an apartment by yourself. Same thing. Take authority. Anoint. Bless, pray, ask Holy Spirit to come into your home, into your business, into your school. You have that authority. The kingdom of God is within us. And Jesus died to destroy the works of the devil, as you mentioned, but he's not here to do it. We are. So we have to do it. And the kingdom of God is in us. And so we have to take our place as sons and daughters, kings and priests, and take authority. And once you start to understand that and you start taking authority you can actually find the destiny that God has for you. Because the enemy, he doesn't want us to walk in our destiny. So he lies, he gets us delayed, he's distracting us, he's discouraging us, so we can't battle him. And so we're battle weary, and then we lose all sight of what our destiny is. But God reveals our destiny, and he has a call on our lives. And so when we walk in authority and we hear the voice of God, we know exactly what we're called to do.
Let's zero in on taking authority in your home, for example.
Okay.
What would someone do to experience that?
So how I even learned about this was several years ago, my sister was making anointing oil for a ministry. And she actually told me about anointing oil and that it was a representation of the Holy Spirit, that it was biblical, it was in scripture. And I started researching, what does the holy anointing oil do? And I actually have some scriptures I'll share with you. But the Bible associates anointing oil with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's his power that breaks bondage. It heals, it sanctifies, it protects. It even can bring favor. It opened doors and things like that. There's scriptures all through my book that talks about this. Even beyond the Bible, there's so many testimonies of the power of anointing oil. You know, in scripture, people were healed, they were sanctified, they were cleansed. So really the reason you're doing it is to say, Holy Spirit, this belongs to you. This is a prophetic act of anointing this place to say, this is your space. Come cleanse it, purify it. I have prayers in my book. I have decrees. I have prayers that you can literally pray on my website. I have a prayer for cleansing your house, and you can go through and you're basically removing any spirits that aren't the Holy Spirit. And you're just declaring and decreeing over your home what you want to see made manifest through Holy Spirit. And you know, there's a scripture that says, call forth what is not as though it is. And I believe that's Romans 4:17. And God says to do that, to declare and decree and say, you know, there is peace in my home. There is revival in my home. There is freedom in my home. My son has the mind of Christ. You're declaring these things. So that's basically what you're doing when you're cleansing your home. And I recommend people clean their land as well, because you don't know what was on the land. You have no idea what happened on the land before you built your house. So I do the same with my land as well.
That so resonates. I've had a couple experiences in our home. We prayed years ago over our home when we moved in. We anointed every doorway, prayed mm-hmm. for God's blessing. And then there were a couple experiences over the years where the enemy tried to bring sickness on my wife or mm-hmm. actually even on our dog. It was really weird. This happened just a few months ago. Our daughter was visiting, and it was like 1 a.m, and she heard the dog heaving out in the living room. And I get up, my wife's up, we walk out there, and he's acting so weird. He's like almost convulsing. Mm-hmm. And we knew this was demonic. And we prayed, and we bound the enemy, prayed mm-hmm. over our dog, and it left.
Yeah.
It was obvious. Then there was an experience several years ago where my wife was laying in bed. She got up. She's like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. I feel really sick, Brian. And I knew in my heart it was not real sickness. It was the enemy. I remember praying and wow. I just got intense. I mean, I was yelling at the enemy. Uh-huh. I prayed with great fervor and great intensity because the Spirit put that on me. And when mm-hmm. I was done, my wife was completely fine.
Praise God.
All of it was gone. To your point, it's very real. Mm-hmm. As I like to say, it ain't no joke.
No, it ain't no joke. Brian, I have so many amazing stories and testimonies of people that God would sit people next to me at ball games. Like I'd be at a football game and a friend would sit next to me and be like, just all of a sudden start sharing with me. One of my friends said, you know, my daughter, she's up every night. She has these horrible dreams and she can't sleep. And Holy Spirit's like, Beth, tell her about taking authority in her home. Tell her about blessing her home. And so I shared it with her. I think her daughter was like 7 or 8. And I said, here's some anointing oil. Let me show you how to anoint and pray and have your daughter do it with you. Have her take authority over her space and over her room and bless her pillow and command all spirits affecting her sleep to go in Jesus' name and invite Holy Spirit. So I called her a couple of days later and I said, how's everything going? And she's like, Beth, it was immediate. Like, she slept the best she'd ever slept. It's been incredible. And then I actually reached out to her when I was writing my book because I wanted to add her testimony. It had been over 3 years and she had never had a night terror or nightmare since. Just, I could go on with stories like that. I had a friend whose daughter was 18. She was in just depression. She said, Beth, she doesn't want to do anything. She's not happy anywhere unless she's at church. Like, she doesn't want to be with people. She's, you know, stays in her room all the time. She goes, I don't know what's going on. This just isn't her personality. And same thing, Holy Spirit said, she needs to take authority. So I started to explain it to her, gave her some oil. I told her to walk through her house, ask Holy Spirit if there was anything in the house that had brought that on. Because even though, like you were saying, you've cleansed your house, you've blessed it, but, you know, it's not a one-time thing. We have to continually seek Holy Spirit about things. And as soon as we see a shift in the atmosphere, as soon as we see anything, or like your wife was feeling sick and you noticed your dog, you know, Holy Spirit quickens you to say, okay, there's something wrong. Yeah. And that's when we go into authority mode. And that's when you start saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what is it? He will answer. He will answer. And you start to ask and walk through your home. And so she did that. And sure enough, they found something in her closet. They'd never seen it. It didn't belong to anyone in the house. It was like up on a top shelf where they had missed it when they moved in there, but it was like some kind of broken cross. So they got rid of it. She asked me what to do with it. I said, you know, break it, burn it, whatever, if you feel like there's something on it. So they did that. And also, she said her daughter's dog would not go upstairs and the dog slept with the daughter. Like, it was the daughter's dog. And it wouldn't go upstairs for days. Its hair was standing up on its back. So they blessed the place. And again, it was like a freedom. I mean, she said her daughter was herself again. The dog was back in her room. They had taken authority. And that's what we have to do. It's a continual thing.
There is so much underneath the surface that we are unaware of. Someone listening to this might be thinking, oh my gosh, this is just woo-woo. This is out there. This is weird. But the truth is, when you start getting into this and you see the authority you've been given and the order in which God wants us to walk, there is some profound capability He's put in us. It's mind-blowing by the Spirit of God. And it has been abused, yes. But that doesn't mean it's not for us, right?
Right. He always has a counterfeit. I mean, the enemy, his goal is to counterfeit anything good, right? Mm-hmm. So we always have to have discernment. And the Bible says to test every spirit. Don't just believe anything. And we have to be cautious because, you know, the enemy does look around. He is very cunning and sly and he lies. So we do have to be cautious. But like we said, Jesus came for this reason. When I started to write my book, that was one of the things I said was, do we serve a God that's good and He loves us, but He leaves us to suffer on earth till He comes back to get us? No, like He's equipped us. We have victory, but we have to do the things that He says for us to do to have victory. We have to use our mouths. We have to use our authority. We have to do the things He called us to do and have faith and walk in it.
What are some other stories that you could share here? What springs to mind?
Well, you were talking about your dog and it immediately came to my mind. I have a friend, she was house sitting a dog. He was a little Frenchie and she was just babysitting him and he was a puppy and he jumped off of her fireplace and broke his elbow. And she was so upset. She couldn't believe it. She felt horrible. So she went back to her friend and said, I'm so sorry. His name's Leo. She said, Leo has hurt his elbow and we've got it, you know. And so they took him to the vet. Sure enough, they said he had to have a plate and screws and that there was a 50% chance that with the plate and the screw, even he wouldn't walk normal. And the surgery was going to cost $7,500.
Oh, man.
And I know. And my friend said that the girl who actually owned the dog said, I can't afford this. I can't take him anymore. I'm going to have to get rid of the dog. And so my friend Denisha was like, okay, I'm going to keep the dog. I'm keeping the dog. And so she's telling me about this. She's like, Beth, how am I going to come up with this money? And I said, Denisha, we're going to pray for Leo. Like, God can heal Leo, and we're just going to believe. And so she brought him to my house. We were having a high school Bible study night. She brought him to my house. I told her, bring him in. We anointed him with oil. We prayed for him. And I kid you not, he was completely healed. He never had to have surgery. He walks completely fine, completely fine. And it's just amazing that God cares about every little thing. He cares about our animals. He cares about us. You know, he's amazing.
Yes. Just, I'm in awe. It's precious that the Lord would do that. What are some other key points from your book that you'd like to highlight, Beth?
Some of the chapters are just different strategies and tools. I mentioned decrees, making decrees and declarations, praying the scriptures. You know, when Jesus faced the devil in the wilderness, he used the word of God to conquer him. And we know that the word of God does that, that it is a sword that cuts through soul and spirit. It cuts through and it takes the enemy out. It literally takes him out. So I talk about that. I give examples of that. I talk about fasting, how important fasting is, that it's not only crucial in freedom, but it also brings direction. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about hearing God and getting direction through fasting. And it's a great way to stay in freedom. I talk about communion, the power of communion. I talk about worship. Worship is a weapon. People often don't realize they enjoy worship music. And they'll play it in their car because it's safe for kids. A lot of people think, well, it's just, you know, I just listen to it when I go to church before the preacher comes up and gives the message. They really don't realize the weapon of worship. And I put in my book the story of Jehoshaphat from 2 Chronicles 20. He gets word that he's about to be attacked by two different people from different places that are coming at him. And he gets word from a prophet that hears the voice of God. And he says, hey, worship, start worshiping. And so he gathers all the women and all the children and all the warriors, and they begin to worship. And during their praise and worship to the Lord, he literally confuses the enemy. They get confused and they actually take each other out. They don't even get to Jehoshaphat. So to me, that's incredible to think about what happens in our atmosphere when we worship. It can shift an atmosphere instantly.
To that point, oftentimes you don't actually feel like worshiping when you know you should. In fact, a lot of times, right? It's a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks. And I would just encourage anyone that's thinking, wow, worship. I would love to see that really do some great things in my life by the power of God. Then just start doing it. Just put on worship.
Absolutely.
Give God the sacrifice of praise. Doesn't matter how you feel.
Exactly. It'll change how you feel. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've left sporting events. I have boys that play sports and I'm a really strong feeler. I have a strong discerning of spirits. And so anywhere I go, I feel whatever is in the atmosphere. And sometimes I will have to literally bring my AirPods and I put on music while I'm there just to help me through that. Or I'll get in my car and put on worship music. I call it stinking thinking. I always tell my family, if you've got stinking thinking, go put your worship music on and it will cheer you up. It will bring peace in your atmosphere and encourage you because it's the word of God.
What is the best way for people to get in touch with you, Beth, and find out more about you?
Well, I have a website and it's BethAWilliams.com, and it has information on my book, on anointing oil. I have free resources for people. I have a cleansing prayer on there, and I have just some different things that are great tools and resources that I like to share with people. And I have a show. It's a video podcast called The Beth and Nicole Show. It's on YouTube. And we share some teachings. We interview people kind of like what you're doing with awesome testimonies. We talk about different giftings and really just how to walk in authority and how to be a kingdom influencer. You know, God calls us all, no matter what you do, whether you're a teacher, a nurse, you own a business, you're a waitress, it doesn't matter. God calls us all to have kingdom influence, and we serve a purpose, and it is important. And so we talk about that a lot on our show. So I hope that everyone will look that up too and subscribe, and you can see our shows and stuff.
You bet. I'll put that in the show notes. As we finish here, Beth, I'd love to have you pray for our listeners, please.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be honored. So Father God, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for every listener right now. And Lord, I thank you that you have given them power and authority, and that there is greatness inside of each listener right now, God. I thank you, Lord, that your desire is that we would walk in victory. So I just pray right now, Lord, that you will release revelation, wisdom, and knowledge to every listener, God, that they will get something from this message today, Lord, something that will make a difference in their lives, that they will seek freedom, they will seek their authority and their power in their home, that they will shift the atmosphere wherever they work, wherever they live, God, that the kingdom will come to earth through us because the kingdom is within us. So Father, I just declare blessing and favor over each person. I pray, God, that you would just continue to guide them and lead them to hunger for more of you. We love you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity, and we just give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Beth, thank you so much. Loved hearing your story.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you subscribe to the show and share this with someone you believe would be encouraged and motivated by these stories. Until next time, I'm Brian Robinson, reminding you that the greatest decision you could ever make is to ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life. If you haven't done that, read Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. Thanks again for listening.